what's the deal with all of these gospel tracts? And why do so many of them seem to disagree with one another? Well, that's what we're going to talk about in today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. I'm glad that you've tuned in because we are beginning a new series talking about gospel tracts. This is an important subject because the gospel tract that you use, if you use tracts, should be clear. So let Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar talk you through what you should consider when you use a gospel tract. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, thanks for tuning into the show. My name is Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
We want to start a new series today, and we want to talk about tracts. Christians love tracts. We print millions of them every year. People think these are effective ways of doing evangelism. Might I say, Bob, I love surveying tracts because it tells us what people actually believe about the gospel, what Christians and evangelicals believe the gospel is and how to be saved.
Right. Using the term Christian, not in the sense of born again, but one who is a regular church attender, one who is following Christ and may or may not be born again.
You have a collection of all these tracts.
I do have lots of them, and I've just pulled out a few here. I don't know how long this series will go, whether it's two episodes or four or five.
Right.
I have some clear tracts, and I have a lot of unclear tracts.
Okay, whenever you're doing something like this, you usually start off with the thesis. And the thesis is what probably a lot of people are going to think, that if this is an evangelical tract, it's going to tell people, it's going to be clear on justification by faith apart from works. That was the impetus of the Reformation. That's what all evangelicals are supposed to believe. And so you would think that's what's going to be clear in these tracts.
I think that's an incorrect assumption. I think if I was going to put it the way I would say it, is what we expect to find in most tracts is God loved the world and sent his son, that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, that Jesus rose from the dead on the third day, that Jesus is God in the flesh. And then when it gets down to it, there's going to be some sort of decision or some sort of action you have to do, typically turning from sins, committing your life to Christ, surrendering to Christ, promising to follow him.
And that's because based on your long history with evangelicals, you believe that most of them don't actually believe in justification by faith apart from works.
Well, they will say they do, but the reality is they define faith in such a way as submission, obedience, turning from sins.
Right.
And so, no, they don't believe justification by faith alone in the sense that Paul means it, or regeneration by faith alone in the sense that the Lord Jesus means it. So tracts are well-meaning. And there's some good stuff even in the bad tracts, because they will talk about the fact that Jesus died for our sins.
Right.
And Jesus rose from the dead.
All right. Well, let's test it out. Let's see how evangelicals actually evangelize.
All right. Now, here's one called Do You Know? And on the first page, it says, Do you know for sure that you are going to be with God in heaven? And it asks the question, if God were to ask you, why should I let you into my heaven, what would you say?
Now, I've heard that. I mean, I think I've heard that question many times.
That's part of the Evangelism Explosion program. And believe it or not, this is an Evangelism Explosion track.
Okay.
I pretty much like the beginning of the Evangelism Explosion presentation.
Well, it kind of sounds a lot like John 11:25
right.
onwards, where Jesus goes to Martha and
Do
says,
you believe this?
I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Are you sure about
right.
this?
Right. This has a terrific start. So we might call this a kind of a mixed track, but where it ends is confusing. Let me show you some things at the end. They get down to the point where they're trying to lead the person in prayer. When they get down to the prayer, they're asking Jesus to come into my life, take control of my life, forgive my sins, and save me. I repent of my sins, and I place my trust in you for my salvation. I accept the free gift of everlasting life. Well, it's kind of confusing here because you're giving control of your life and you're repenting of your sins, but you're also saying I'm accepting the free gift. It's hard to see how it's free if I'm doing all these things.
Right.
And then they say, welcome to God's family. And they say, you're in God's family if you have truly repented, that is forsaken and turned away from your sins, and if you have placed your trust in Jesus Christ's sacrificial death, and if you have received the free gift of everlasting life. And so, you know, that's kind of unclear, too. But then they get to...
Well, tell us why that's unclear. What would be clear?
Okay, what would be clear is to say, Jesus said, he who believes in me has everlasting life. If you've believed in him, what do you have? Everlasting life. And how do you know you have everlasting life? Because Jesus said so. He said, whoever believes in him. But this booklet is bringing up turning from your sins, forsaking your sins, and also telling Jesus, take control of my life.
So they're hearing a mixed message in this tract. On the one hand, these writers of this tract want to say, this is a free gift. Eternal life is a free gift. They say that. And on the other hand, they're saying, you got to clean up your life first, and you got to leave this bad work and that bad work. And presumably, you got to stop doing the bad thing and start doing the right thing, maybe? Or is it just leaving the bad things behind?
You've also got to ask him to take control of your life.
Right. So how do you know?
So there has to be some sort of surrender.
And see, that's a problem, because now a person, an unbeliever, is going to be wondering, well, have I done that? How do I know if I've done that? Is he controlling me or not?
They have another page called Spiritual Birth Certificate. And they say, this is the person speaking, knowing that I have sinned and I need the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, I now turn from my sins. Mm. Notice the first thing out of the box. I turn from my sins and trust him for my eternal life.
Right.
So the trusting of eternal life is fine, but why are we bringing in turning from my sins?
Well, weirdly, have they even used the word faith yet or believe?
They haven't, not here. And then they say, I ask Jesus Christ to forgive me and deliver me from sin's power. Why are we bringing that up unless that's a sanctification issue, and give me eternal life? So they're mixing in delivering from sin's power and eternal life. And of course, it is true that when we're born again, we're no longer enslaved to sin. So maybe that's all they mean, but that's a little confusing. And then they say, I now give Jesus Christ control of my life.
And that's not a bad thing.
No, but it's not part of what you do to say I'm born again.
Right. Not everything that a Christian is supposed to do is part of the condition to be born again. And so if someone who doesn't really know anything about Christianity, who's coming at this for the first time, is going to be reading this long, involved laundry list, and they're not going to know, okay, what do I have to do to make sure that I'm with God forever?
Oh, yeah, and listen to the final thing under Spiritual Birth Certificate. From this time forward, as he gives me strength, I will seek to trust him and obey him in all areas of my life.
Again, not a bad thing. You should be doing that.
Right.
But not to be born again. But that gives the impression, you know, if you really believe, this is what you need to do.
Right. So although there's some good things in here, overall, I'd say this would not be helpful to share with an unbeliever because it's too confusing.
So it sounds like the confusion is they're trying to put a bunch of discipleship conditions into an evangelistic message, and that's putting the cart before the horse.
Exactly, and that is common in tracts, because what they don't want people to do, which is kind of strange, they don't want people to think that simply by believing in Jesus, they have everlasting life and can never lose it.
Mm-hmm.
They want them to think, well, I've certainly got to live the life.
Right.
I've got to turn from my sins. I've got to submit my life to him. I've got to give him control. And I'm going to have to follow him for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're giving a mixed message. On the one hand, it's a free gift. On the other hand, you've got to turn from your sins and clean up your life.
And it sounds like they never made clear that it's simply by believing. I guess they used the synonym trust, but that's not always a synonym for faith.
No.
Trusting can be a behavior thing. All right, what else do we have here?
All right, well, here's another mixed one. It's a kind of a cartoon thing called Betrayed. And this one is kind of mixed. They get down to the end. They talk about people disobeying God. And then they quote John 3:16, God so loved the world so much that he gave his one and only son to die so that everyone who believes in him, Jesus, will not perish but have eternal life. John 3:16, that's the way they translate it. And then they say, but you must agree with God that you've rebelled against him by the bad things you've said, thought, and done. Then tell him that you believe Jesus died to take away the penalty for your sins. And then they quote Acts 10:43, everyone who believes in Jesus will have their sins forgiven. Whoever believes in him, in the Son, has eternal life. So they're quoting John 3:36 and Acts 10:43 and putting them together. And then they say, Jesus came back to life 3 days after his death. That proves that God has the power to transform you to please him and help you resist temptation and sin. Now, that's confusing because they've said, well, if you believe in Jesus, you get the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. But then they say he came back, and this proves he has the power to transform you. Of course, this is playing on a cartoon about Transformers.
Okay.
To please him and resist temptation and sin.
Again, that's not false. Jesus does give us power to do that, and he wants us to be transformed and to resist sin and all of that stuff. But again, this is being packed into an evangelistic appeal. Discipleship conditions are being put into an evangelistic appeal.
Right, and it's not clear these are distinct. And then they end with what is pretty good. Want to accept God's offer? If you really mean it, tell... Well, I don't like the if you really mean
it. If you really mean it.
Yeah. Tell him like this. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I believe Jesus died in my place. I'm trusting you to forgive my sins and to give me life that lasts forever. Thank you. Now, the I am trusting you is not as good as saying I believe you.
Right.
I believe you that by faith in you, I have everlasting life. I'll never perish. And we don't even need some kind of a closing thing like this. But I would call this mixed.
Well, see, I don't like if you really mean it. Is that what they said?
They said if you really mean it.
Because now I can imagine someone with this tract saying these words out loud. Because it hasn't really been made clear to them that they need to believe in Jesus for this free
right.
gift. What's been made clear is they have to say this to God. So they're saying this out loud and they're just wondering, do I have enough motion to make this genuine? Do I really mean it?
Right.
Or am I just saying this out loud? Worrying about whether or not they did it right.
Oh, I mean, I know lots of people like that. They were told to pray a certain prayer, but they had to pray it sincerely with all their heart.
And so salvation becomes a subjective thing, and the object of your faith becomes your own internal emotions or whatever. When really the truth is, and this is how you evangelize clearly, the power is entirely in Jesus' promise, entirely in Jesus who said that whoever believes in him has everlasting life. You have to believe that Jesus is able to do what he promised. That is saving faith.
Absolutely. And when we look in the next couple episodes, I've got some tracks from some other leading ministries that we can talk about.
All right. Well, stay tuned for that future show.
Thank you, Sean and Bob, for that great discussion about gospel tracks. Are you interested in finding other free grace believers just like yourself in your area? Well, you can do that by going to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And on the website, we have a church tracker. It's an easy-to-use map that will help you locate those other free grace churches that might be in your area. So come visit us at the website and take advantage of our free church tracker. It's at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. There are a lot of costs involved in staying on the air. That's why we so much appreciate our financial partners. If you'd like to learn how to become one, you can find out more by going to faithalone.org. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, tomorrow on the program, we're going to take a look at a track called Do You Know For Certain? You're not going to want to miss it. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.